said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And I would actually like to take a long time on this tonight, but I'm not going to do that. But I do want to remind us, the forgiveness of sins is not an afterthought in God's doctrine. The forgiveness of sins is not a man-made doctrine that we thought sounded good and feels good just to do it. Forgiveness of sins is not an option if you want to go to heaven. I was talking to a pastor once. He's a Baptist pastor, and I was raised in a Baptist church, so I feel like I can say this. I was talking to this Baptist pastor. He's from El Salvador. And I was in a meeting in Louisiana, and they said, we have a Spanish-speaking pastor here, and he wants to talk to somebody that speaks Spanish. So I speak Spanish, so I started talking to him. And we got to talking about salvation. And he said the dumbest thing to me. He said, I'd rather believe Jesus than the apostles. Now that is a dumb thing to say, because you don't have to choose. The apostles preached what Jesus taught them. And Jesus taught them what he wanted them to preach. They didn't suddenly, a few days after he was taken up, say, we're going to start some new message here. We've heard Jesus, but we want to give it our own little twist here. They preached what Jesus taught them to preach. And that pastor told me that he'd rather believe Jesus than the apostles. And Jesus said you had to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, that's exactly right. I believe you. That's what Jesus said. And he said, well, you don't believe that because you're Pentecostal. I said, yes, I do believe that. And the apostles preached that. They just did it. They didn't repeat the words. They fulfilled it. Because the name of the Father is Jesus. And the name of the Son is Jesus. And the name of the Spirit is Jesus. And when you look in Revelation, and when the writer describes everything he sees, he even describes there's thunder and there's lightning. He's got the sounds going on. He describes everything he sees. And there's one throne. And there's one sitting on the throne. And his name is Jesus. And that writer recognizes him because he walked with him. And I told that pastor, we got to talking about baptism, and he said, it's not really necessary. And I said, but you're a Baptist. And the reason they called you a Baptist in the beginning was because you emphasized baptism. And now you say it's not even important. And they began to tell me, we have learned and progressed as time has gone on. And I said, if you mean to tell me that you think we know more today than the apostles did that walked with Jesus, you have another thing coming. They got a first-hand account. They were witnesses of what Jesus did and his message and what he taught and what he preached. And I said, Jesus also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He said, I never heard that in the Bible. I'm going to have to check that out. I said, how can you call yourself a pastor and you've never read that in the Bible? He said, well, I'm going to have to go and check that out. And when we talked a little bit more and then we left, and I hope that he pursued the word of God and the truth of God. But Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, you will be saved. And he said, if you don't believe, we don't even need to go to the next step of baptism, because you're going to be condemned. You're never going to make it into heaven. Jesus reiterated that on the first time he said it, when he talked to Nicodemus. If you want to see God, if you want to become part of the kingdom of God, if you want to get into this family of God, you've got to be born of the water and you've got to be born of the Spirit. What he was talking about was baptism for remission or forgiveness of sins, and the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what he's talking about is regeneration of the human man, because human man, the carnal man, the natural man, does not want the things of God, does not desire the things of God, is not looking for the things of God. In fact, natural man is running from the things of God, is trying to get away from the things of God, does not want to honor God, does not any way want to humble himself before God.
All right.
But Jesus said, if you want to be saved, you've got to be baptized. And you've got to have your sins washed away. Forgiveness of sins is not just a doctrine of the United Pentecostal Church that we thought sounded good, so let's put it on a track somewhere. Forgiveness of sins is not something that our general board at one time said, or our ministers' conference said, we think this is a great idea. Let's just start preaching the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is a message that Jesus Christ preached to people, and the apostles preached it. We see the shadow of it in the Old Testament. You bring the lamb, you bring the innocent sacrifice, and they slit its throat, and they shed its blood. The animal did nothing, but you're the guilty one, and there's a transference of your sin onto that animal. But there was no forgiveness. The writer of Hebrews tell us, with all those sacrifices of the Old Testament, because he says that all it did was bring a remembrance of their sin. But then he goes on to say, he was writing to the Hebrew Christians that wanted to go back to the sacrifices and to Judaism. He said, all those thousands and millions of sacrifices didn't take away one little sin. He said, but Jesus offered himself once and for all and has taken away the sin. Forgiveness of sins is not an option if you want to be saved. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the price has already been paid. The way has already been made. Right. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to save up your money for it. You don't have to get good enough to obtain it. God wants you just like you are. Right. Amen. Forgiveness of sins is not optional. Some people think it is. Some people think the infilling of the Holy Spirit is optional. It is not optional. If you want to be saved, you must have forgiveness of sins. The writer tells us, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, through Jesus Christ, through the only one that could forgive our sins, from the only sacrifice. And the incredible thing is this, Jesus offered the sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice that was being offered. And Jesus is the one that accepted the sacrifice. Now there's nobody else here that could do that. There's nobody else that's ever lived that could do that. And the writer tells us that through his blood, we have remission of sins. Through his blood, through this man Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. And what I want to preach about tonight for just the next few minutes is that nobody is beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. All right. There's no one that has run too far. There's no one that has begun too far away. There's no one that has done too many things wrong that you're out of the reach of God. I know we talk about the scripture that says, is the arm of the Lord shortened that he cannot do this thing? And we apply that to the miraculous, and it's true, it is. We apply it to the great things of God and the power of God, and it's true because that's what it is. But I want to tell you tonight as well, the arm of the Lord is not shortened. He can reach wherever you are. He can reach wherever you've gone. He can reach to the depths of sin that you find yourself in. He can reach to the highest places that you think you have obtained. And God can reach out and grab your life and grab a hold of your heart and transform you and change you. And Paul says in the next verse, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What he was saying was, under the law, this couldn't happen. You couldn't be wiped clean. You couldn't have your sins washed away. You couldn't be justified in Jesus Christ. You couldn't be made right, is what justification means, with God. You were still on his blacklist. You were still over there on the list of the bad people. But through this man, Jesus Christ, through preaching forgiveness of sins, he says all can be justified. Not just one or two, not just the good people, not just the pretty people, not just the people that have it all together, not just the people with a lot of money, not just the people with a good social standing, but all people can be justified.
That's right.
Justification simply means this. It's a term that tells us you were sitting in the seat of the accused. You're on trial, and this side is for those that are accused. You're standing trial, but when you've been proven innocent, when you've been declared innocent, then you move from the seat of the guilty, from the seat of the one that's on trial, and you move to the side of the innocent. And now you're sitting because you've been justified. Your position has been changed. That's what justification is. We were sitting among the accused. We were worthy. We were worthy of everything that came upon us because we're sinners. We deserved the things that came upon us as sinful humanity. But Jesus Christ, through His blood, through His sacrifice, He has taken us and moved us from the place of the guilty to the place of the justified.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's changed our position. He's changed where we were. Oh, the Bible says that He's made us to sit in heavenly places with Him. We're talking about people that deserve condemnation. That would be us. We really deserve it. We deserve to pay the price for our sins. But we've been justified. We've been washed. We've had forgiveness of sins applied to our life. He said all can be justified.
Thank you, Jesus.
What I want you to understand tonight, there's nobody that's gone too far from God. There's nobody that's wandered too far away from the reach of God.
Right.
There's no place you can go that God cannot find you there. I know we get into maybe the semantics of, well, God doesn't go to the bars. Well, God's everywhere. God knows what's happening in the bars. Those walls don't block His view of anything. He's a spirit. He is everywhere. I'm not saying He condones things that happen, but God knows everything that takes place. His presence fills the universe. If His presence was taken away, we would all die. He sustains us. He keeps us with life and breath and how we live. God does that for us. So it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are tonight. It doesn't matter where you find yourself.
Right.
It doesn't matter the guilt that you bring. What I want you to understand is there a God that loves you enough that He gave Himself for you and He gave Himself for me. There's only one way to be saved. It doesn't matter what language you speak. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized with the forgiveness of sins. And you've got to receive the Spirit of God. You've got to live a holy life, separated from the world, unto God.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how much debt you have. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what trade you know. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Everybody has to do the same.
That's right.
We're not talking about a thing where, well, if you're an important person, your way in is different. You can come through this door. The servants go through the other side. Oh, no. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the only door. I'm not a door. I'm not one of me. I am the door.
Right.
You want to come in, you come through me. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. You've got to come in the same way.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've gone. Because Paul said, all that believe are justified from all things. Well, you see, Pastor, it's there's maybe some things in my past that you're not aware of. You're probably right. And there's some things in my past that you're not aware of. Let me tell you who knows it all. His name is Jesus. And you're not too bad to scare Him off.
That's right.
I knew a young man once in El Salvador that he came to church. He was a sinner. And came to church and we worked with him and worked with him, and he could never receive the Spirit of God. He would always weep and weep and weep when he prayed, and just and you could tell something was there. We talked to him, and he told us that he had been in the Civil War in El Salvador. He had been fighting, and he had tortured people and done things. It was a bad Civil War. And he said God couldn't forgive him for that. We talked to him, and in fact presented him to some of our pastors that had been through the same thing years before. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost when he realized there's nothing I've done that God can't forgive me for.
All right.
Strong, we had a lady in our church would come to church, and she'd come with black eyes. She'd come beat up and bruised because her husband would hit on her. Didn't want her going to that crazy church. We prayed for her. We prayed for her. He came to church. He became a pastor. He had pastors who were alcoholics, drug addicts, gang members, murderers, whatever, you name it, blah, 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 put the list. I think 1 Corinthians mentioned something about that list. And such were some of you, but you've been washed, justified, you've been sanctified.
Come on.
We have ladies that, I won't go into detail, but their life, their profession was the oldest in history. I'll leave it at that. I won't say too much. They didn't think God would forgive them or that God could use them or even cared about them for what they had done with their life and their body. And one of those ladies, she was in here tonight, I'd run up to her and hug her. My wife would too. She's one of our greatest Sunday school teachers in the church. Loves all the kids. Kids love her. God brought her out of that terrible, terrible darkness that she was in. But she didn't think anybody could forgive her. But she definitely didn't think God could forgive her. And God transformed her and turned her into a great vessel for His honor.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm simply wanting you to understand. I know it's very simple. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to preach something difficult. I just want you to understand it's simply this. That God loves you more than you can even imagine. We love our children. And we can't even imagine how much God loves us. Even comparing it to what we feel for our children. The Bible says, Jesus said, you give good things to your children. But He said, you're evil men.
Right.
And how much more our Heavenly Father. We can't even fathom how much God loves us. But God loves every one of us in His place tonight. And there's nothing you've ever done. And there's nothing you're going to do that God cannot forgive you from.
All right.
They've been justified from all things. And forgiven. God, you can I can forgive from that. Can you forgive me I can forgive you from that. You name it, and God can forgive you from it.
Yes,
it is. I understand blasphemy is the unpardonable sin. I think there are very few people that even come close to blasphemy. That's a whole other teaching for a whole other day. But God wants to forgive people tonight. He wants you to know that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What that word means to the uttermost, he could perpetually save. It's a secure salvation. He can save you, and He can keep you, and He can hold you. Jesus said, nobody can take you out of my hand. You can jump out if you want to, but nobody's going to take you out of my hand.
All right.
Nobody's going to get you. I've got you in my hand. My Father's greater. Nobody can take you. Peter, the devil has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Peter. Look, I got it all under control. Don't worry about it, Peter. Everything is in my hand. He can save to the uttermost. He can take you and save you, and He's not going to save you for a week and a half or for 3 months or for 6 years. He's going to save you. He's going to save you for eternity. He's going to save you. He's going to help you make it. He's going to help you walk it. He's going to help you live it. Those that come to Him, those that come to God, those that come through Jesus Christ, those that understand He's my only way, He's my only door. He's the only one that can forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. I want you to understand tonight there is a salvation that is secure, that is sure. And it's the best thing going. because the return is eternal and it's secure. I want you to stand with me if you would tonight. He can justify all that come to Him from all things. Well, preacher, I've done this. God will forgive you. Well, I've done that. God will forgive you. I can give you testimony after testimony, and I'm sure that you could too, of people that thought God could not save them. Of people that felt like God cannot redeem me. I want you to know that He can.
Hallelujah.
And even more importantly than God can, He wants to. I don't think anybody doubts that God can. I think even people that don't really hardly go to church, they know God can. Well, everybody knows, well, God can, sure, if He wanted to. Good news, He wants to. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in Him.
That's right.
And beyond the fact that God can, beyond the fact that He wants to, is the third thing that's just a clincher for me. He will. He will. It's His desire. He wants it more than we want it. We're His creation. God wants more for us than we ever desire ourselves.
That's right.
We sang that chorus, verse of Scripture. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because He wants to, because He can, because He will. We're limited. We deal with things here. What about things we can't even see? Who knows what God is working on right now?
Right.
Right this minute that's going to affect you. In 22 days, 3 hours, and 18 seconds from right now. We're only thinking about, I wish this preacher would stop. It's getting late, and I'm hungry. That's about as far, we're thinking, we're about on supper, right? That's about as far as we're dealing right now. We're not even thinking a month down the road. But that's whatever when that's going to happen. God's thinking about 6 months down the road. God's moving the pieces right now. So that a year and a half from now, but a year and 2 months, 3 days, 17 hours, 2 minutes, and 5 seconds, God's going to have everything in place for what He wants to do. I don't think God can save me. Well, when they heard the Apostle Paul was saved, church folks got a little upset. This guy persecuted us. This guy's been after us, dragging us off to jail. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Barnabas had to take him to introduce him to the brethren. They were all scared. This is the IRS coming after us. And then some. This guy's got letters to take us to prison. What's going on?
Yeah.
Light from heaven. I want to use you, Saul. I want to use you to take my name all around the then known world. If God can use the Apostle Paul, God can certainly use us. So I just want to tell you tonight, I don't know if it excites you, but it definitely excites me. God can forgive you no matter what you've done. God can forgive you no matter where you've been. He can forgive you no matter what you think. He can't take care of you. So I want us to pray tonight. There is a need like never before, I believe, for us to understand the importance of forgiveness of sin. It's not just something we talk about. It's necessary for salvation. It has to happen for salvation. And God doesn't clean us up just to clean us up and leave us there. He cleans us up to keep us.
Yes.
To hold us. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we will.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But He's going to pick us up again. He's going to clean us off again. Even those of us that have served God for many years know what it means to feel God's forgiveness. When you feel the sweetness of God's presence wash over you, just begin to, sometimes the words don't even come. Just, God, I messed up, I made a mistake, I did something I shouldn't have done. And there's no condemnation. There's no God with a baseball bat or a sword that's ready to kill you. There's a Father. I know what you did. I know what happened. Let me hold you again. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And friend, you can't buy this at Walmart.
That's right.
You can't buy this at Target or any other fancy store. Dealers don't even have this. Macy's never thought about it. It's God's wonderful forgiveness. And it's free to us because it cost Him His life. Preacher, that's a very simple little message. You're very right. It's a very simple little message. It's the truth. It's God's word.
Hallelujah.
So I want us to pray tonight. And I would just like everyone that would to come to the altar and pray. And if you need God, if you've never had a relationship with God, if you've never had a walk with God, and I want you, when you come to this altar, I want you to say, God, I need you to forgive me of my sins. And just begin to talk to Him as though He's your best friend. Lord, I've done some things. You don't have to name all you've done. He knows it all. But God, I want you to forgive me. And if you're serving God and you know God, why don't we just take a little time to say, Lord, thank you for your incredible forgiveness. Thank you, God, for washing away my sins. Thank you, God, for taking me so many times that I failed you. So if you would, those that would, I'm not going to force anyone, but I would ask you, those that would, to make your way to the altar. Let's collectively...